the pockets of her jacket, she produced a battered stethoscope that had been salvaged from the ruined medical bay of a previous redoubt. She opened Doc's shirt, roaming the end of the stethoscope across his chest until she picked up his heart rate. It was fluttering and irregular, but even as she listened, it began to settle into a more regular rhythm. A smile flickered at the corners of her mouth.
Hell, I think the old buzzard might just last this one out after all.
Dean glanced over his shoulder to where Jack Lauren had risen to his knees, before retching and puking a thin string of bile onto the chamber floor.
Maybe he'll even outlive Jack. Well, at this rate, it seems likely.
Jack looked tiny, swathed in his multi-patched camo jacket, and cut a pathetic figure as he coughed and spat out the last of the vomit, spasms jolting his body. But this impression was belied by the fact that the teenager, an albino from the swamps of the bayou, whose pale face was covered in the scars of innumerable battles, was a born hunter and fighter, wiry muscles stretched over his slight frame. Despite the vast reserves of strength that he held within this wiry vessel, Jack was the member of the group who was hit hardest by the Matrans jumps, always taking the longest to recover, his senses reeling and his body racked by pain.
Right now, be glad to see Doc last longer.
Jack's red eyes began to focus on the rest of the group. He grinned.
Feel like already long chilled.
As Jack pulled himself to his feet, and Dean and Mildred helped a dazed and confused Doc to his feet, Ryan, JB, and Christy moved across to the chamber door. This particular chamber had teal-blue armaglass walls. Most of the chambers they had encountered, whatever the color of the armaglass, had been opaque. And although that was a good thing, because it meant that they couldn't be observed from the outside, it also meant that exiting from each chamber and into the redoubt was fraught with the possibility of an attack they couldn't predict. Ryan paused by the door and looked at Christy. Her Titian mane was flowing free, not curling close to her head.
Feels good to me, lover.
Ryan spared her a smile, his single eye sparkling. He indicated her free-flowing tresses.
I'd gathered that.
So, take it yellow but still alert?
Though JB was just as experienced as his old friend, Ryan was the undisputed leader. There had to be one in any group if they were to survive.
Affirmative, JB. Are we ready, people?
He looked over the rest of the group. Dean was now alert and ready for action, while Doc was recovering rapidly, attended by Mildred. The younger Carter nodded. Mildred muttered a swift yes before looking at Doc, who also nodded assent, leaning heavily on his lion's head sword stick, but looking stronger with each passing second. Already he had the unwieldy but effective Lamar pistol sitting easily against the heel of his hand. That just left Jack. The albino was resilient and strong, and he had already moved over to where Ryan, Christy, and JB were poised by the chamber door, his .357 Magnum Colt Python already in his hand.
Ready.
Ryan nodded and reached out for the handle on the interior of the door. It was a simple handle, seemingly too simple a lock mechanism for something that would seal a doorway against the outside world while matter transfer took place within. Ryan's muscles tensed perceptibly in the fraction of a second it took for the door to swing open, his easy stance replaced by a steeled spring that took him into the anteroom outside. JB swung into position behind him, Uzi up and ready, covering his friend. Ryan took in his surroundings with one swift circular glance, years of training in the art of survival, imprinting every detail of the area on his soul retina. The comp control room was deserted, with the remaining comp consoles covered in a thin layer of dust, despite the gentle hum of the air conditioning, a sound which suggested that the plant that cleaned the air was still at least partly working. Ryan rolled, clutching the Steyr by stock and barrel, shielding it from harm with his body as he came up on his feet, hunkered behind one of the consoles that provided scant cover. Looking around, he noticed that the area outside the chamber was empty, with no sign of life in this part of the redoubt. It was an impression gained from the slight buildup of dust and dirt by the sector, leading to the corridor beyond.
Safe down here!
Ryan rose, and noted in passing that the light on top of the SEC camera that stood in the top left corner of the area was dead.
And we can't be seen by anyone.
More relaxed, but with a residual tension that never left them, the rest of the group exited the Matrans chamber and dispersed into the comp control room. Dean and Christy, who both had gained an interest in old tech, went over to the still-blinking console that controlled the chamber.
Any idea where we landed, Dean?
The youth shook his head.
We need some kind of direction indicator, maybe a map with it. I guess it's down to JB and the stars.
The armorer acknowledged Dean's comment with a twitch of the lips that may have been a smile or a grimace. It was true that often the only way they knew what part of the Deathlands they had landed in was when the armorer was able to get outside the redoubt to take a reading on his mini-sextant from the sky above. It was ironic that, with all the old tech around them, something so simple and ancient was the most reliable location finder. And before they could get the reading, they would have to reach the surface. That, as they all knew from past experience, wasn't a foregone conclusion by any means.
May I suggest, my dear Ryan, that if the redoubt is in all probability empty, then we try to make a rapid, if secured, progress and ascertain if there are any supplies to be salvaged?
Why don't you just say, let's look to see if we can sleep and eat?
Ryan suppressed a smile. The opportunity to relax enough to make jokes was rare, and it would benefit them all to rest and eat before taking up their guard once more and taking a look at the outside. And there was only one way to do that.
Okay, people, let's take a look at this redoubt. Once we get the door open, then it's triple red. Let's keep it tight until we know what we're dealing with.
In many ways, it was unnecessary for Ryan to say this, as they had stayed alive for so long by taking such actions as a matter of course. But by saying it, Ryan helped focus himself and his companions on the task ahead. Forming up as Ryan punched in the set code to open the automatic door, Christy was next in line behind the one-eyed man. Jack came next, with Doc sandwiched between the albino and Dean. Mildred fell into line ahead of JB, the armorer bringing up the rear. All seven were silent, their senses tuning into the stillness and quiet around as they psyched themselves up to spot the slightest change. All stood easily, yet the observant eye could see that each had shifted his or her balance in such a way that everyone was poised for the optimum reaction. The door hissed slightly as the mechanism opened, leading onto the corridor beyond. From their long experience, they knew that the vast majority of the redoubts that housed Mattran's chambers were built on the same basic plan, which put them on one of the lower levels. Many redoubts were buried underground, running sometimes hundreds of feet deep. Sometimes the entrances could be found built into the sides of mountains or hills, or cut into the sides of valleys, so that they were sheltered but still at ground level. The armory and general sex supplies and barrack facilities were on the higher levels, with a quicker access to the entrances, while the middle levels usually housed sleeping and recreational facilities, including the mess halls and kitchens. All levels were accessed by the corridors, each of which was equipped with a series of sec doors that could seal off sections when required. The levels themselves were accessed by a series of large elevators, some of which were designed for large numbers of personnel, and some of which could take equipment and smaller vehicles. A series of stairwells served as an emergency backup for possible power or circuit failure on the elevators. The stairwells were accessed by sec doors and were of bare concrete and sparsely lit. The elevators had sec risks for the companions, but from bitter experience they were all aware that the stairwells were traps from which there was less chance of escape. So they always chose the elevators if possible. Ryan led his people in that direction. All his senses and instincts were telling him that the redoubt was deserted. There was no sign of life anywhere on this level. It seemed that the level had seen no activity since Skydark. And experience told him that if the redoubt was in any way occupied, sheer curiosity and the search for Jack and loot would have led the occupants down to this level. The companions were relaxed but still alert as they reached the end of the corridor and the dulled metal doors that closed over the elevator shaft. Ryan studied the electronic panel.
Looks like it's still working. Let's see.
The one-eyed man tapped the call button, and the friends stood in complete silence, listening intently for the gentle purr of the mechanism as it approached.
Sounds like the shaft's unaffected.
The elevator reached their level, a muted shuddering announcing its halt. As the doors opened smoothly, Jack looked into the empty car.
Maybe luck change, for once.
With a muted hiss, the doors of the elevator opened onto the next level. Ryan and JB were poised with blasters ready, their companions ready to move to defensive positions and return fire. Their condition red stance was met with an almost mocking silence. The corridor ahead of them was as deserted as the one they had just left. Both Ryan and the armorer relaxed, the one-eyed warrior turning to the others as he did so.
Looks like this one has never been breached. Guess we should take a look around and see if they left anything behind before they evacuated.
If we're lucky, there should be food and medical supplies.
Hot pipe, not more self-heats.
The 10 units of food that the boy referred to had been standard military issue,